a very rural church in the deep South began the lovely Christmas tradition of staging a living nativity scene on the front lawn. It became the talk of that small community. A visitor driving through town stopped and admired the performance, but one feature troubled him. The three wise men were carrying heavy canvas hoses, and they wore fire helmets. Unable to come up with an explanation on his own, the tourist went to one of the church members who stood by. "Why the fire hoses and helmets on the three wise men?" he asked. The church lady shook her head in disgust and replied, "You Yankees never do read the Bible." He assured her that he did, but couldn't recall anything about firemen in the Bible. The lady indignantly pulled her Bible out from under her arm and rifled through the pages, finally jabbing her finger at one particular passage. Putting the good book right up to his face, she said, "See, Yankee, it says right here, the three wise men came from afar." Well, they didn't come from afar, but they did come following another kind of light source, a star. It just so happens that tomorrow night at about 5:29 p.m., the planets Jupiter and Saturn, in an exceedingly rare event, will come very close to each other and appear as a double planet, a conjunction, because they'll be within 0.1 degrees of each other from our perspective, though in reality they'll still be hundreds of millions of miles apart. Some call this a Christmas star, and it hasn't been visible since March 4th, 1226, nearly 800 years ago. Is this a sign from heaven? Surely. Is it the actual star Bethlehem reappearing? No. As I've said before, the supernatural star which guided the wise men to the exact location of the Christ child was far better than our best GPS systems, and though it may not have given out vocal commands, it moved ahead of them and stopped when they did. Some people think it was a comet, but I don't think that either. It wasn't in any way a natural phenomenon. It was a moving star, possibly even a very huge, bright angel that from a distance looked like a star. The point is, Jesus the Christ was born probably during the wee hours of the morning of December 25th, according to tradition. The Bible doesn't specify the exact day. Many scholars and many Messianic Jews claim that it makes no logical sense for him to have been born on December 25th. Many propose a birthday during the spring or fall, such as the Feast of Tabernacles. However, in my own studies of history, I find it far too easy for us moderns to automatically question traditionally held dates and accounts of historical events. What we tend to find is that most traditional stories have some basis in fact, including many myths and legends that have been distorted and exaggerated over eons of time. But something as important as the day of the Savior of the world's birth, though not noted in the Bible, would naturally be commemorated by Lord Jesus' followers as the years passed after his ascension. Which, to me, begs the question, why would God allow all these massive celebrations around the world converge on this one particular day that is not the winter solstice? Christmas is the one day of the year when it is easiest to introduce people to Lord Jesus. Could December 25 just be an accident? With omniscient God, nothing can be an accident. The Lord was born into a dark world, a dark time, not so unlike our own time, which most would have to agree is a dark time indeed. For us, America has progressively gotten darker and darker ever since we began outlawing God from our public life, with the politically motivated Johnson Amendment in 1954, then the removal of prayer from our schools in 1962, and the next year, the Bible, which then, not surprisingly, immediately led to the sexual revolution of the 1960s, which threw off all biblical restraints on morality. Hailed as a liberation, as God has always warned, it was actually just the opposite. We exchanged the freedom of God's truth to literally become slaves to sin, which shortly led to the legalization of abortion on demand, and our conversion from being one nation under God to a nation under the devil began to manifest. An ever-deepening spiritual darkness began encroaching on us, getting darker as the decades passed. The church was marginalized, pushed to the periphery of society, such that Christian believers and Christian practices became a subculture, subordinate to the mainstream atheistic secular culture that became increasingly coarse, uncivilized, and violent. So many of our fellow citizens live now in such darkness that many of them can no longer stomach tolerating our existence, but desire us to be forcibly re-educated, brainwashed, it used to be called, and if that fails, then summarily exterminated, so that the utopian great reset of the world can progress unhindered by us haters. How very much do we need light to break forth upon us? Yet, the light has already come. All that needs to happen is for us to let it out. As his word declares in Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. The light of God has come in Bethlehem 2,020 some years ago. A supernatural star appeared in the sky, which moved day and night. At the very moment of Christ's birth, a massive fireworks show appeared in the skies over the pastures outside of Bethlehem. Fireworks of angels, a whole multitude of heaven's angel armies appeared, praising God and saying, as Luke 2:14 records, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." God's light has come. As soldiers of the light, let us be bold in standing for the truth and light. In so doing, nothing will be able to resist us. For the light came down at Christmas, a supernatural baby, the very Son of God and man. He came, and he's still here, and he's the answer to everything. But did he have to come as a baby? For sure.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a king wearing a magnificent crown."
No, Dad, that's not it.
Oh, really? Let me try it again. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a powerful, well-trained soldier."
No, Dad, you did it again. That's not right.
Okay, how about this? "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a democratically elected president."
What? No.
"A trendy motivational speaker."
No way.
"A big tech CEO." "A movie star." "Time traveling cyborg."
the shepherds weren't going to find any of those.
Okay then, little Miss Know-It-All. What did they find?
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.
Oh, that's right, a baby. Does that even make sense? A baby is totally helpless.
Yeah, but if Jesus didn't come as a baby, then he would have known what it was like to grow up.
Ah, but wait. Why did he have to grow up?
That's easy. To save us.
Ah, well then that means that the best part about Christmas is...
the baby.
Right, the baby. Oh, well, I guess it's time you get some sleep. We got a big day ahead of us tomorrow.
No, we're not done with the story.
Okay, just a little longer. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with him.
Let us pray. Father God, there is so much for us to be thankful for. It is even beyond our imagining and ability to conceive all the things that we need to be thankful to you for. But at this season of the year, we thank you for coming as a baby, born at the time the sacrificial lambs were born, as you grew up to become the Lamb of God, slain for our sins, taking away our sins as the scapegoat into the desert, so that we may have eternal life with you forever. This light that is within us, Lord, help us to display it. In Jesus' name, your name, we pray for your praise and glory. Amen.